for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, October the 28th, 2009. Frank Marzullo, Jr. is a speaker of this service teaching on authoritarian abuse, Saul's spirit.
Thank you, brother. Well, my name is Frank Marzullo, Jr., and I've come to you from Central Florida, right outside of Daytona Beach. I'm going to bring a message to you that you probably heard before many different ways. You know, deliverance is kind of like this. Deliverance is kind of like a kaleidoscope. Everybody know what a kaleidoscope is? And you pick it up and you turn it and it changes. And I want you to look at this message today. This is a deliverance message, by the way. At the end, we're going to get rid of some demons. Did anybody not bring their demons with them? I don't supply them. I'm sorry. You have to bring your own. All right. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do some ministry. I'm going to teach you on the Saul spirit. I've changed the format a little bit. So the next one I bring will be on the control spirit. But as I spoke to you last night in the opening, that the Lord loves you. He's measured you. He's measured the mark of your growth. And He wants you to understand that you're growing. You may not see yourself growing, but you're growing. I don't care if you've been in the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years. You're still growing in the things of the Holy Spirit. And He's taught me that I never stop growing. I can teach you what I've learned and what I've heard from the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, I will be ministering to myself. Because all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks and I change. I don't understand it. I just know that the Lord works that way. And I, you know, if I stop the message just for a minute and have my own little private deliverance, okay? Just say, oh, that nutty guy over there, look at him. Because I could be speaking to you and something will trigger an emotion or a memory in my mind. And the Lord will be speaking to me at the same time. I want to talk to you about the Saul spirit, but before I do, I want to ricochet off what Reverend Carroll spoke about the other day. And when he touched on something, I just want to leave this with you. He was talking. He stopped at one of the points he brought up was the armor of God, and it's in Ephesians 6. And it talks about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, powers, spiritual forces, darkness and wickedness and heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, Ephesians 6, 13. Therefore, take up. Everybody say, take up.
Take up.
Something you have to pick up. Take up. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Everybody say, resist. These pieces of armor are for your defense, that you'll be able to resist the evil day. And every day to me is like an evil day. I'm sorry, but you know the devil comes at me every day. How about you?
Absolutely.
Right. And having done everything, say everything.
Everything.
Have you done everything? Have you done everything? You know, Ephesians 6 comes after Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 2. So you want to look at what the everything is that Paul is writing to the Ephesians church. So having done everything, stand firm. You see, you want your deliverance, but you don't want to follow what's going on in the previous chapters. So I want you, your homework tonight is to go home and read Ephesians 1 through 5. Then you'll understand what this is about in Ephesians 6. Therefore, take up, stand firm. Therefore, having girded yourself, verse 14, girded your loins with truth and having put on a breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with a preparation, having shod, it's already done, you see, you've already did it through 1-5. Right? Having shod your feet with a preparation of the gospel, please. In addition, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know, that doesn't say take up the shield of faith so you can block and hide under. It says so that you can extinguish. Those arrows will hit. The enemy will hit you. Oh, come on, duh. How many times have you been hit this week? But the shield of faith, extinguishes it. Extinguishes what the enemy does. Your faith in Christ Jesus does it. Now, watch this now. And take up the helmet of salvation. Know that you're saved. That you know.
Amen.
And then say that I know I'm saved. I meet a lot of Christians who say, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I want to be good. It's not about good. It's about what Jesus did for you.
Amen.
You could be as good as you want, you see, and be outside of salvation. It's what Jesus did for you. And so therefore, take up your salvation. Take up your helmet. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Everybody knows what that is, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. By the way, this is not your sword. It's the sword of the Holy Spirit. It is not for you to cleave and carve up each other with in your dogmas and your doctrines and this and that. It's not yours. I got to prove the point to you, brother, sister. I got to prove. No! It's not that. It's the sword of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is active and alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, cleaving. You see, what we have here is the sword of the Holy Spirit. And it's meant to convict you of your ways. So you take that up. It's not meant for you to carve out each other's lives and smack each other over the head with your Bibles. It's not your sword. And then, of course, we have pray at all times in the Spirit, in verse 18. So these are the pieces of armor that we have. And I wanted to touch on that before I really get into my message. I got plenty of time. Good. So these are pieces of armor, and you don't put them on. This is not for you to put on, these pieces of armor. This is not something that you wear. I've been taught that, Brother Frank. Well, let's unlearn that. This is something that's on inside of you, internal, through Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's already put on. You have already done this by the time you come to Ephesians 6. So these pieces of armor are something that's not external, it's internal. These pieces of armor, this is putting on inside of you. It's developing your character. It's developing the inner man. You see? That's what this is. And if you want a piece of armor to put on the outside of you, go to Romans chapter 13. Let's turn there. I'm sorry, I'm taking a side road here. You don't mind, do you?
Yeah.
All right. Romans chapter 13. Where am I? I'm in the wrong chapter. There I am. Okay. Verse number 12. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, not in strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to put something on? Okay. Okay, let me back it up here. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. Verse 12. So you want to put something on? Put on the armor of light. Who's the armor of light? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's something that goes on the inside of you and it wraps around you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. People see that coming. I don't know about you, but when I walk into a room sometimes and I'm in a fleshly crown, the demons will speak out. They'll come out of people. They'll say things, and I'll recognize them, and they'll recognize me because I walk in wrapped in the armor of light. And that's the way we're supposed to be. It's something external. We wrap ourselves in the armor of light. So that's external. Okay, you want to put that aside, and we'll get into the message now. I'm going to talk to you about the Saul spirit, and we've all heard about Jezebel. I'm going to teach you probably stuff you already know, but we're going to look at it through the kaleidoscope. It's going to turn a little bit. You can see things a little differently. We know about Jezebel, the Jezebel spirit, the spirit of Absalom. We know about Athaliah, who goes after the anointing and the anointed, the next in line for the kingship. And we know about Ahab's spirit. And these are all mentioned as spirits in the Bible. They're not mentioned as spirits, but they're mentioned as people in the Bible who manifested certain characteristics. And every Bible a deliverance minister knows about these characteristics. They know about these things. They've been dealing with them. They manifest them in these people, and you need to get rid of them, so we all know about them. These are personifications of characters of people in the Bible that God put in His Word, and they have certain characteristics to them that manifest in the spiritual realm as they did to those people in the natural realm. So you'll see in the natural, you'll see that being manifested in the spirit. Today's times, you'll see that happening. Jezebel, Ahab, Athaliah, Absalom were actually real people. They were real people. They had certain characteristics that made them do certain things. So they carry with them a spirit, which is a bodily, in their bottle. It's a bottleless entity, and it looks for to enter into a human being, to manifest itself, so it can express itself. So, and today I'm going to speak to you about the Saul spirit and the characteristics of Saul, because he manifested certain characteristics. And I want you to understand that if you're operating in the Saul spirit, you may have been operating, and you may or may not know it. Maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to you about certain things that are going on in your life, and maybe you're just unaware of it. You may just be unaware of it. And maybe you've been a victim of the Saul spirit. And so I want you to look at these two things today. You may have been a victim of the Saul spirit, or you may be operating in the Saul spirit. Today, at the end, we're going to get rid of those things. Do you remember what Jesus said to James and John in Luke 9:55-56? They wanted to call down fire from the sky. They were offended that Jesus was rebuffed and that he was not going to enter into the Samaritan town. So what did they do? They said, "Let us call fire down, Lord. Let's burn them up." They were offended. They were offended. Jesus said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of." In other words, they were motivated by another spirit. Sometimes we as Christians, they were Christians, they were followers of Christ. Sometimes we're motivated by something that is not of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hey, Brother Carol? Amen?
Amen.
That's one finger up. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right. So, you know, we're supposed to be motivated by Jesus Christ. No other spirit. No other spirit. But they didn't know it. They were operating in a spirit of that was contrary to Jesus. When I became a Christian, I told myself, and this is one thing I want to leave with you. Deposit this in the bank and take it to the bank. I want no other spirit to control me but the Holy Spirit. And we should not be moved by anything else. We should not be controlled or moved by anything else. And the Saul spirit, now watch this, and a Saul spirit and a father produces a distorted picture of God. You may have a distorted picture of God, and now you're raising your children. The human family is meant to reflect the heavenly family. When it does not, a distorted picture of God is learned, and it must be unlearned years later. So that God's Father heart can be imparted to people who are hurting, rejected, feeling abandoned, or condemned. I know I'm speaking to ministers that have been in the Lord for a lot of time. I know I'm speaking to people, and I am humbled by this, that God has brought me here to speak to you guys. That you could have all the ministry, and I was talking to one of the people here, you could have the greatest ministry. You could have the most magnificent ministry and yet sound like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal because there's no love in it. You may be going through the emotions of just doing the work. Some of us have been in the battlefront for a long time and we're just going through the motions, kind of like sleepwalking. And I want to encourage you that God is going to take care of this business today. He's going to show you that you need to have love in order to do your ministry. If you don't have love, come up front and get it at the end. In fact, you know, even while the message is on, if you want love, just come over here and just come off to the side and ask the Lord for it. I don't care what's going on around me. I'll just bring the message. So, the Saul spirit stands in the way of the Father's love. And because it stands between you and a deep personal relationship with God, it'll control you. Controllers want to dictate even to God. You ever tell God what to do? Nah, come on. Just me? No, you probably have done that too. It's not just me. You've probably told God, God, I want that over there. God, how come I can't have that? Why didn't you do that for me, God? Nobody here besides me? Oh, one honest person. Thank you, Lord. Two. There's somebody else raised their hand. Three. The controlling spirit is a curse. It is a curse that is passed down from generation to generation. If you are raised in a household with a father or a mother who was a controller, guess what? You're a controller. You become one too. You know, if they're domineering, guess what? You're a domineering person too. You'll end up with the controlling tendencies yourself. In addition, you will be drawn to people. Watch this. You'll be drawn to people who have them because it feels normal to you. It feels normal. So you'll be drawn to that type of crowd, that type of people. Being ignorant of the controlling spirit is a deadly thing. All Saul's sons were tragically destroyed except for one who was crippled. Remember that grandson who was crippled? So it either destroys or it cripples. Saul's spirit destroys or cripples. The effects of the Saul spirit is to pick off leaders. The effects of the Saul spirit is to pick off leaders, budding pastors, and cripple ministries. That's the effects of the Saul spirit. And as we look at the picture of Saul as represented in 1 Samuel, please stop and pray. Please stop as we're doing this, as we're looking through Saul, and let the Holy Spirit show you if you have been doing these things or they have been done to you. Okay? Understand. Let God give you a revelation. Ask Him to reveal to you the controlling tendencies in your life. When God exposes the thing, He is ready and able to heal it.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Come on, Brother Carol. You got to look up here. I have my finger up. Two. What was two? I can't remember. Hallelujah. Love you, brother. That was good. The characteristics of a modern-day Saul can be laid out on a 20-point checklist. And I'm going to give you 20 points. And then you can see them. There was no evidence that Saul was a man of prayer except when he was forced to and had to worship. And he did not wait for God nor spend time alone with God. Only once when he built an altar to God to atone for the sins of his men at war when they ate the spoils of war by eating the blood. You'll find that in 1 Samuel 14:35. They ate the blood. Otherwise, he sought God only through Samuel. Eventually, he could not hear God's voice because he disobeyed God. A Saul may even have the word of the Lord in his mouth, 1 Samuel 10:10, and 1 Samuel 19:23 through 24. And I tell you what, let's read that. I'd like to look at this again. 1 Samuel 10:10. When they had come to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. It came about that all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets?" They didn't recognize him because of that. They said, "Wow, what happened to this guy?" 1 Samuel 19, verse 23. He prophesied there at Naoth and Ramoth, and the Spirit of God came on him also, that he went along prophesying continuum till he came to Naoth and Ramoth. He also stripped off his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel, and he laid down naked all day and all night. Therefore they said, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" By the way, who here works in the gift of prophecy? Come on, let me see some hands. You work in the gift of prophecy? All right, please keep your clothes on. I don't understand this verse. Don't, yeah, when you prophesy, please leave your clothes on. Right. It's just like weird to me, huh? So, I don't think you'll be, received very well in your church if you do that. excuse me, I have a word of prophecy, and you take your clothes off, lay it on the floor. No, I don't think that'll work. So he prophesied with the prophets, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him. I can't get that past that either. now you got a word picture in your mind. You can. Yeah. Well, I understand that, but I'm going to keep my clothes on for you, all right? So they thought he was nuts, and they judged him too. They said, "Is he also a prophet? What's going on here with this guy?" So Saul may be speaking very powerful in the meeting, very powerful, where the Spirit of God is moving, but that when they leave, they're back to their old selves. Saul went right back to being his old self here. The Holy Spirit can move through a Saul from time to time, but make no mistake, the Bible is clear. The Spirit of God departs from this leader in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13 and 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Family, he loses the presence of God because the fullness of the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God. Right? Everybody say obey.
Obey.
Yeah, I know. Some of you don't want to do that. And I don't want to do it. It's my nature too, your nature. We want to do our own thing. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. So, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, just kind of like, okay, here it is over here in this place now, David. So, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And I can back that up in the Word, Galatians 5 and 6. It's riddled with it. Galatians 5 and 6 and Acts 5. Right? It's riddled. It's salt and pepper with it, this concept. Okay? Now, the first thing was, he may look religious. The very first thing, you can write that down, is Saul may look religious. He may look religious and may even have the word of the Lord in his mouth. Number two, he will take matters into his own hands. When his men of war were gathered, and they waited for Samuel, the prophet, to come to make an offering to the Lord before the battle, they started to leave because of the long wait. Remember that? Okay. So Saul took it upon himself to make the offering. All right. Let's read that. That's found in 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13. And it's found in verse 8. Now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time by Samuel. But Samuel did not come till Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offering, and he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling, therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked for the favor of the Lord. So I forced, everybody say forced. I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord will establish your kingdom over Israel forever. Would have. Verse 12. I forced myself. I was compelled to do something. Listen, when you are being forced and compelled to do something, that may not be the Holy Spirit. No. Well, why did you do that? Well, the Holy Spirit was really pushing me in this direction. I don't know. You better check that. You know? 1 John 4:8. Test every spirit. So, he was forced to. So, the Saul may be for, he says, I'm forced to do this. He was compelled to do something. Saul believes that the end justifies the means. When confronted by a Samuel, there was no sign of repentance. No sign of repentance. It was embarrassment, but no repentance. So, you see, he'll take matters into his own hands, and he won't repent. This is a Saul, okay? Number three, in the same passage, we see he blames others. The other guys were leaving, and they forced me. The other guys were leaving. Saul blames others for his wrong actions. Saul had the audacity, not only that, but to turn to Samuel, and he shifts the blame in verse 11. The people were scattering from me, and you did not come! He shifts it to the prophet of God. How many here have had one of your sheep or somebody shift the blame back on you while you were ministering to them? Hello? Why, you didn't come over to me and hold my hand and pray for me. You walk right past me. Well, I feel really bad, and you made me feel bad. That's a Saul spirit. It could be in a woman, too. Right? So, he shifts the blame. Verse 11, the people were scattering from many. You did not come in the appointed days. God gives his opinion in verse 14. And in verse 14, it says, but now your kingdom shall not endure. Boom. Boy, that's like a smart bomb. You see? But now your kingdom will not endure. You want to blame somebody? Blame yourself. Don't blame the man of God who's bringing you the message. Yeah, listen, I'm sorry if this offends you. Iron sharpens iron. I told you in the very beginning when I started off, I had to give you a message of love first because I'm bringing a jackhammer. Right? And I'm going to crack up your concrete. So, you know, if it offends you, please sit there. Don't run out the door. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Praise God. So, verse 14. You don't want your kingdom ripped out of your hands, do you? Listen, you're assigned to a kingdom. You're assigned to a work by the Holy Spirit. We were created for good works. And then you go and do your good works and you build up this ministry. And this is a real ministry. But don't be blinded by your own big ministry. Number four. He fears man more than God. He was ordered by Samuel to utterly destroy all the Amalekites. Their men, the women, the children, the livestock, everything. Leave nothing alive. But instead, Saul returns from battle with a prisoner. King who? Agag. And the best of the sheep, fatlings, lambs, and oxen. By the way, do you remember the story of Ruth, Esther, and Mordecai? Mordecai was Esther's uncle, but Haman, remember Haman? It says Haman was an Agagite. Just remember that. When you read the book of Ruth, you'll find out that Haman was an Agagite, and he was left over from this battle. Right? So, anyway, When confronted by Samuel in 1 Samuel 15:15, they have brought them. They did it. Those people did it. The army did it. They forced me to do it. They brought them. He shifts the blame. I obeyed except for this one Amalekite and the best sheep and oxen sacrificed to your God. Who's God? Boy, he shifts the blame. It's not Saul's God anymore. It's Samuel's God. Your God. But the rest we utterly destroyed. You know, he's trying to squirm his way out. Now, that's what he's doing. He's trying to squirm his... It's not my God. It's your God. So, partial obedience, family, is total disobedience. Partial obedience is total disobedience. You'll see a Saul spirit who partially obeys, but it's total disobedience. And so we read in the next chapter over in 15, chapter 15, and in verse 22, but Samuel, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it's better to obey than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. It says divination here in this Bible, but it's witchcraft. Divination is witchcraft. And insubordination, by the way, that's stubbornness, is as iniquity and idolatry. If you see a Saul, if you are acting in a Saul spirit, and you're stubborn and you're rebellious, it's as insubordination and witchcraft, idolatry. Guess what? If you're stubborn, you are an idolater because you made yourself up above God. If you're stubborn, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. He recognizes he's sinned, hasn't he? I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and in your words, because I feared the people. Everybody say, feared the people. You know, a Saul will fear people more than it will fear God and listen to their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me. He doesn't care too much about his sin. He wants Samuel just to pardon it. He wants a presidential pardon. He's not repentant, though. And you'll find that with the Saul. They will not repent. They understand they sin, but they will not repent. Return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe and he tore it. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from your hand today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind. For he is not a man that he should change his mind. God's not a man that will change his mind. Then he said, I have sinned, but please honor me. Everybody say honor. He doesn't care about repentance. He wants to save face. Are you with me? A Saul will always try to save face, but he won't repent. Now, before the elders, honor me now before the elders. Please, let everybody see that you're accepting me and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God, your God. That wasn't his God. That was Samuel's God. I get a feedback every time, a red flag every time I see that. So what we have here is we have a guy that's really disobedient. He wants to save face. In this passage we see what drove Saul to disobey was fear of man. Fear of man. Fear of disapproval. At the end, you may be struggling with that. You may always try to strive to please man. Maybe you're operating in a Saul spirit. I see people back here getting deliverance ready. I haven't even started. Praise God.
Yeah, that's good.
Woo! Also in this passage, we see number 5. He will be rebellious, arrogant, stubborn, and proud. Verse 23. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, witchcraft, insubordinate as iniquity and idolatry. Back up a little bit to verse 12. Back up. After the battle, by the way, with the Amalekites, Saul erects a monument for his honor. This guy was too much. He erects a monument.
I did the battle. I won the battle. I'm going to make a statue for myself over here. Place it over here.
Was that pride or what? This guy was so proud of himself, he thought he was the best thing since sliced bread. So, he comes back. So, Samuel arose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told to Samuel. It was told to Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel and built, and behold, he set up a monument for himself. You know, I bet the troops are going, look at this guy. Boy, he's so full of himself. That's a Saul spirit. You know, I can tell when somebody gives me a testimony and it's full of bragamony. You know? Bragamony, right, you know. That's a Saul spirit. When they're so full of themselves. I want to say to them, you're full of... You know? That's number three. That's a hallelujah. Glory to God. A Saul spirit will put the focus on their glory, their ministry, their achievements. That's what a Saul spirit does. Ministers, look at yourself and ask yourself, am I doing that? Am I putting the focus on my, me, I? Ask yourself. Ask yourself. Do you want the glory for this? Are you really working for God? Are you working for you? Are you trying to build your kingdom or God's kingdom? Are you trying to build your church or God's church? Are you trying to build your little fish tank? What are you doing? So, the Saul spirit will put the focus on their glory, their achievements, and their house. Their house. Number six. He is remembered, but does not totally... He is remorseful, but does not repent. Verse 30. 1 Samuel 15, 30. I've sinned, but please honor me. Please, O prophet of God, O man of God, honor me. Let the people see you're honoring me. He doesn't repent. He could have repented and cried out for mercy, and I bet you at that time, maybe the Lord would have done something. You see? Might have changed his mind. I don't know. But he didn't. Saul is always fiercely dedicated, and territorial preservation is the top of the list for him. His little kingdom, his little thing, territorial preservation. You might want to jot that down the next time. Put it on your refrigerator next time you go and do your ministry. And see if that's what's motivating you. Number seven, he controls by fear, intimidation, emotional manipulation, shame, put-downs, punishment, rejection, or failure. 1 Samuel 16:2. Samuel is sent by God to go to the house of Jesse to select the new anointed king. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will what? He'll kill me. Samuel was afraid of Saul. And I think that's why he allowed Saul to come back with him. I mean, here's a king. He has a whole army. Hey, you, take your sword out. Kill this man. You know? And I think Samuel was a smart guy. I think he didn't, you know, he had self-preservation. How can I go? When Saul hears of it, he'll kill me. Many find it hard to unweave themselves from a Saul due to intimidation and fear. I was in a church for a long time that I had a spirit of Saul operating in the pastor. And I had to unweave myself from this over a period of time. Number eight, he uses people to make him look good. David made Saul look good. He killed Goliath and he won victories. Remember that? He gave him a high position in 1 Samuel 18:5. And Saul liked David, and he used him as long as it made him look good. And Saul is unable to love people because he cannot trust. Saul cannot trust. If you are having problems trusting your leaders and your elders, ministers of God, listen to me. If you're having trouble trusting your leaders and your elders for fear that they're going to hijack your ministry, right? Then you may be operating in a Saul spirit. So he uses people. Saul used David, abused him, and discarded him when he was not useful. Number 9. He has to be number 1 in power, fame, prominence, and position. Saul wants to be in the spotlight. He doesn't want to share the spotlight. I want to tell you what your work is. Your work is to build up the body of Christ. My work is to build up the body of Christ. Guess what? My work is not to hold leaders down, to push them down. My work is to find leaders and push them up. They are to become greater. I'm to become lesser. And if you're doing something in the opposite of that, in your church, leaders, ministers, reverends, your eminence, if you're doing something different, then you're not obeying God as a shepherd. You're supposed to be pushing people up, finding new leaders, up, up, up. You go up, I go lower. You go up, you go higher, I go lower. You work, you do this, I'm sending you out, you're going out, you're the ones who are supposed to do the gospel, I'm just the ones to get you launched. That's what leaders are supposed to do. Get you launched and get them out there. Remember, I'm stepping on some toes today. If you have any tomatoes back there, please put them back in your bags. All right. Praise God. All right, so what happens here? Saul must win at all costs, no matter what. He has to be number 1. No matter what's involved, no matter who's involved, no matter who the people are. They may have been in your church for a long time in ministry, and you know that you're supposed to be moving them forward, but you're afraid to move them forward because then, yeah, they'll go. That's fear of man. That's fear of man. So he feels, no matter what the cost, he has to be number 1 and keep those people in their place. He only feels important given orders. He cannot celebrate the success or exhilaration of others. I remember when I came back from South America and I was so excited. I wanted to tell the pastor about all the neat things that happened in South America. I saw the blind see. I saw the deaf hear. A goiter shrunk underneath my hand in the name of Jesus Christ. The woman with a basketball-sized goiter. In the name of Jesus Christ, I saw people who were crippled in wheelchairs stand up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. And I came back with this excitement in my, and I said, I want to tell you what happened. And he popped my bubble. And so, he cannot celebrate the success of the kingdom of God with others. 1 Samuel 18:7, the woman sang, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, verse 8. And Saul became very angry for this saying, and it displeased him. Saul was angry at the attention given to David. Jealousy. Guess what jealousy will do? It'll creep in. A person. If a person outshines you, it'll creep in. If you let it. You know, be sure Satan's crouching right at the door, family. If you let it, jealousy will come in there. Number 10. A Saul is insecure, very fearful. Number 11. He's cowardly, very jealous and suspicious. He explodes with outbursts of anger. This is a Saul. 1 Samuel 18:9. Saul looked at David with suspicion, and from that day on, something happened. Something changed. Verse 11. Saul hurled a spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped from his presence twice. Verse 12. Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him. Saul was afraid of David. Some people in this group here are ministers, reverends. Again, your eminence back there with the hat on and the ecclesiastical collar. Right? No, not you, the other one. Right? For the Lord was with him. You know, when the Lord's with somebody and somebody gets jealous of that, that's Saul. When someone is elevated up in position And that one over there gets jealous. I should have been the one! That's Saul. Alright? That's Saul. And Saul will strongly desire to take out those who he perceives to be a threat. I'll pin them to the wall. I'll put them in their place. His position is threatened and his kingdom's threatened. When that didn't work, he sent David away and he used another tactic. Alright, you gotta leave here. The silent treatment. The silent treatment. I gotta call the pastor. I gotta share the good news. Ring, 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 ring. Hello? Can I speak to Pastor Jones, please? No, it's Frank. It's Frank Marzullo. Yeah, I'm one of his deacons. Can I speak with him, please? I know he's a busy man. I understand. I'll wait. I'll wait on the phone. Oh my. Okay. And 10 minutes have gone by. I'll tell you what. I'll call back. An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 2 days, 3 days, 5 days. No return call. That's exactly what he did to David. I'll put him out. I won't listen to him anymore. That way, I won't have to deal with this guy. Right? Now, if that's happening, that's Saul. That's Saul. I don't care how busy you are. Listen, I'm a busy man too. But I tell you what, I answer my phone. And if I can't answer my phone, you know, I will get to them as soon as I can. It may be that day, or it may be tomorrow, but I won't let it go past tomorrow. No. I may be on the road. My wife will answer the phone. He's on the road. He'll call you right back. I've got a list of people that I call right back when I walk in the door. And I'll listen to them. I don't care how busy you are. When you refuse to answer the phone call, when you refuse and you reject the sheep, if you reject the sheep, you shouldn't even be a pastor. Ouch. I'm really busy. Stop being blinded by your ministry. So, he puts David on the outside so he doesn't have to hear him anymore. That tactic really doesn't work too well because those people will be raised up by the Lord anyway. Anyway. Right, Saul, number 12. Saul cannot be trusted. Saul, what did he do? He promised his daughter to David, but it was his intent to have him killed by the Philistines. Go out and collect 100 foreskins for me, will you, buddy? And then I'll give you my daughter. And then when David comes back with 100 foreskins, guess what? The daughter's already married to somebody else, right? And, you know, she's already sold. So when it came time for the marriage, Saul gave her to someone else. Number 13. He's paranoid. Saul is paranoid. The fear factor was so great in Saul, he was capable of murdering his own son, Jonathan. You know? And 1 Samuel 19:2. Jonathan said to Saul, in 1 Samuel 19:2, my father's looking to kill you, so he wants to kill him. Number 14, there's an uproar, roar, and confusion around him. 1 Samuel 20, verse 5. Jonathan went home to check on the Saul's mood. Everybody say mood. Ooh. If you are a moody person, there may be a Saul spirit there. Yeah, that's right. Number 15, he demands total loyalty, even if he is wrong. He demands total loyalty, even if he is wrong. Saul was upset and angry that his son loved David, 1 Samuel 20:30. Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan, and he said to him, you are of a perverse, rebellious woman. He's telling his son this. Do I not know that you are choosing the son of Jesse to your own shame? And to the shame of your mother's nakedness? Verse 31, for as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Saul saw this as disloyalty, that David and Jonathan had a close soul tie and knit together. They were knit together as one. He was pretty disturbed about that, this friend of yours, David. Sauls are very possessive. They don't want to have other close friends. They don't want you to have other close friends, and they want to be your best pal only, and they don't want to share you. They don't want to share you. They take any confrontation or disagreement as disloyalty. Now, listen, some of you have been in ministry a long time, and maybe somebody came up and spoke to you a word, and guess what? You've closed your mind. You say, I'm the pastor, I'm the minister, I'm this. Who is that person? Who does he think he is? Don't you think, I want to tell you something, don't you think that God could use a rock to speak to you? Now, one time I had to challenge a minister of something that was on their website. It was complete, total error. Complete, total error. And I passed this in front of Frank Hammond when he was alive too. And he says, boy, this guy is really deceived. So I wrote him back and I showed him the error in Scripture. And I said, please take this off your website. This is total error. And he wrote me back with all his degrees. I have done this degree, that 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 degree. And at the time, I was a swimming pool technician. I was a swimming pool man. Right? I was just a lowly swimming pool man going around cleaning swimming pools. Right? That's what I was. That's what I did. That's the hat I wore in life at that time. So here, this guy who had all these great degrees and hats and blah, 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 blah on his head. He couldn't receive what the rock was saying to him, what the pebble was saying to him, because of all this crud in his head of who he thought he was. And so they cannot receive correction. When they are confronted, they think it's total disloyalty. They cannot receive correction. They think it's against them. Number 16. He cannot affirm others and will dishonor them publicly. Saul dishonored his own son publicly and tried to spear him. He'll dishonor him publicly. When someone starts to raise up and says, listen, I gotta go. I have to start my own ministry. And the pastor over here says, don't follow that man! Anybody ever see that? That happened in our church one time. And this man who took off has got the most dynamic, loving ministry in South Florida. The one that took off. And the Saul, his church, closed. Hoo-hoo! Just like the word said. All his sons died, except for one grandchild. So, he cannot affirm others and will dishonor them publicly. Saul dishonored his own son. And Saul throws verbal spears. I want to tell you that. He'll throw a verbal spear at you. Boom. That's what a Saul does. He manipulates, number 17, he manipulates by gifts and favor. Saul is trying to keep his kingdom after God has taken that his hands off of him. So he resorts to soul power. Saul will resort to soul power. He tries to bribe people. 1 Samuel 22, 7 through 8. 1 Samuel 22, 7 through 8. Saul said to his servants who stood around him, hear now, O Benjamites, will the son of Jesse also give, will the son of Jesse also give to all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? For all of you have conspired against me so that there is no one who discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you who is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in ambush as it is this day. He twisted, didn't he? He twisted. He says, you guys, listen, will he give you fields? Will he give you this? Will he give you that? I'll give it to you. Will my son do that for you? So he twisted. So he holds the carrot over his servants' heads. That's what he does. Number 18. He's tremendously deceived and cannot perceive things correctly. This is an important point. Saul's perceptions are off. When you find somebody who's got their perceptions off, look for the Saul spirit. Saul's perceptions are off. They are in spiritual darkness and they don't know it. Saul didn't know he was in spiritual darkness. He didn't know it. Saul accuses his own son, Jonathan, of stirring up David to ambush him. But it was he who wanted to ambush David, wasn't it? Okay. You cannot reason with a Saul because they're in deception. The reason won't work. They're in deception. That has to be cast out. The Saul spirit has to be cast out. It can't be reasoned out. Right? Number 19. He hears only what he wants to hear. Saul's. He listened to the people who lied rather than those who told the truth. He hears only what he wants to hear. He hears only what he wants to hear. You could have 400 prophets come and tell you something, and the one true prophet come and tell you the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and you'll believe the 400 who have a spirit of error in their mouth. See? So he'll believe only what he wants to hear. Number 20, he's a perfectionist, demanding, and judgmental. He cannot receive love and therefore cannot give it. His wrath and his identity are tied up in roles and performance. Anybody ever see somebody that has a role or a performance that they're doing? It's not really them. It's they're playing a game. They're playing a role. He is very image conscious. How he is perceived is more important than who he is. How he is perceived is more important than who he is. That's why I dressed up for you today. I would have come, because I'm from Florida, I would have come in flip-flops, cut-off shorts, a straw hat, and a Hawaiian shirt. But I wanted you to check out the good threads. So he's very hard on himself, and this will incline him to be depressed. Saul was depressed, remember? He had David come in. The reason why David came in was to play the harp. He was depressed. Okay, family, there's a picture of Saul. And now what? Why did God put David in the house of Saul for 14 years? Why? Good question. Why? Why did David stay in the house of Saul for 14 years? You know, the Bible doesn't really say that, but I believe it was to take the Saul out of David. You see? David came to understand how not to be. And trust me, family, I identified with this when I read this, because I said, I won't be that way in the ministry that the Lord gives me. So I recognized Saul's spirit, and I said, gee, I'm going to learn from this guy. Because David sat under a Saul ministry for 14 years. Wow. So effective dealing with the Saul spirit must be done on these fronts. Sin, woundedness, and spiritual warfare. Now, this is to repent of your sins, let God heal your wounding, and then you are in a position to deal with the warfare issues. Work through, number one, work through your forgiveness. Thank God for your controller's good quality. Listen, Saul had good qualities. He was a leader. He was put there by God to teach David something. And so I learned from all, like I said, I learned from what not to do. I learned what not to do by sitting under a Saul. And it's, you know, you may say, well, you know, you sat under him for a long time. Yes, I did. But I, you know, what I needed how to learn humility, how to deal the ministry with love, how to respond to the sheep when they call. What not to do. That's what I learned. And it was good stuff that I learned. You could learn one of two ways. And that's the way I learned. I learned how to listen and to love people by watching the Saul. And it's not bad to sit under a Saul because maybe that's where God got you. He may have you there because of your pride and the funny hats that you wear. He may have put you there so that he could squash you there. So you have to look at it from that perspective too. So being under Saul is not a bad thing. But it's good to recognize, and then when the Holy Spirit says to leave, then it's time to leave. And not until then. Listen, I had my feet stepped on so many times, I'm flat-footed. Right? And, you know, one person got the joke. All right. So, anyway, work through forgiveness. Thank God for your control of his good qualities. Ask God to forgive you for judgment in which you held against your soul. Ask God to forgive you from bitterness and resentfulness and revenge, and bless them with healing. The controller had many good qualities, and he or she is a victim of their own family origin. The Saul that I sat under was victimized somehow. He was victimized, and he was rejected. So remember that. Extend grace to them. Truly love them as Christ loved the church. Truly love them. You know, don't get away and say, I'm going to go start my own thing. Let the Holy Spirit teach you along the way, and love them and pray for them. God is teaching you something if you got to sit there, right? Number two, let God judge. He'll judge. Don't you judge. God will take care and judge the controlling spirit. According to Scripture, Saul and his three sons and his armor bearer, all that followed him and his army, were destroyed. All of Saul's army, all those people were destroyed. You know, First Samuel 31:1-13. Acknowledge to God that you have grieved over the relationship, and it could have been a father, a husband, a boss, a pastor, a friend, and thank God that it caused you to press forward to your Heavenly Father. Listen, that forced me to get on my knees and press towards the Father in heaven, and to learn of the Father, and to learn of the Holy Spirit, and to learn of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I had my ministry going at the same time. Yeah, I was casting demons out. And yeah, that man needed some demons cast out of him too. But God wanted me to love him. Your ministries are ineffective unless you love. Love him. Support him. Honor him. David had the knife and he just cut off a little. I could have killed you. You see? See? I could have taken your sheep and gone and started my own church. No. Love. Love. Love him. So, anyway, work through your forgiveness. Work through it. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Does it not say that in Philippians 2:12? And that word salvation is not sozos. It's soteria, which means work out your deliverance from your enemies with fear and, right? Get on your knees and work it out. Walk it out. So that word is soteria in that verse for salvation. So acknowledge to God that you've grieved over the relationship, number three, and it could have been a father, a mother, a boss, a friend. Like I said, it doesn't have to necessarily be a minister. Number four, persevere in prayer. The Bible the battle's a long war. And by the way, it continued 7.5 years after Saul died, by the way. After Saul died, it continued on 7.5 years. 2 Samuel 3:1 says that the house of David grew stronger and the house of Saul grew weaker continually. So pray through. It didn't just happen right away. I mean, yeah, he was established, but it just, you know, something has to build. Something has to build. Number five, set righteous boundaries. Jesus only did the will of the Father. Ask your Heavenly Father how much of a relationship you must be in with a Saul. You may have to be in a relationship with a Saul. You may have to. It may be God's plan on your life that, well, God does. He puts you where He wants you. It may be that you have to be there. So work out what type of relationship you must have with a Saul. Number six, take lessons from David's response to Saul. Meet pride with humility. No more pride. Meet angry words with soft answers. No more angry words back. Don't throw verbal spears back at the person who's a Saul. Don't throw them back. Honor God's anointing. Honor God's anointing. What if you discover that you're the Saul? Uh-oh. The first step is breaking the cycle of Saul's spirit and to acknowledge where you are and what you've done. By you in terms of control. What happens is that you need to look and see if you're the Saul. So let's look there. You know, I read this in Scripture. Mark, I just want to throw this out to you for no extra charge. Mark 10, verse 42. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, if you're Saul, understand this, that the Lord is speaking to you today. Jesus is saying, "I don't want you to lord it over the sheep. Don't press them down. Don't push them down. Don't lord it over somebody else. If you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be..." What did Jesus do as an example, as a visual example, later on at the Last Supper? What did he do? He got on his knees and he washed their feet. The King of Kings, the God of glory, the Creator of heaven and earth, got on his knees and washed the feet. So, my goodness. So he gives us an example and how we're to lead. We're to lead by serving. We're to lead the sheep by serving them. Submit and obey! Well, we're supposed to be obedient to our leaders, but in a loving heart. You know, the word there says, "Be ye persuaded." And sometimes pastors take that and they say, "You must obey. I'm the pastor. I'm the leader." Yeah, I went to the original Greek to look that up. So I want you to understand that we're to serve as servants, not as oppressors. Not as oppressors. And my time is running short here, so I'm going to finish off here. Let's have some deliverance. What do you say? All right? Let's say this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the Saul controlling spirit. I don't want it. I repent of it. Forgive me for sinning against others that I have controlled. I submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and resist the tendency of my own flesh to control. Amen. Now, to those being controlled by the Saul and are wounded by it, say this with me. That should include everybody here, because you've all been touched by this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. Now, you start forgiving, because it could be some sheep in your congregation. It could be that you're controlling people too. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. For controlling me by the Saul spirit, I renounce my soulless grip of that Saul spirit. And I renounce it that if it's been done over me, the grip of Saul over my life. I cut and sever the controlling actions of that Saul spirit in Jesus' name, and I command all ungodly soul ties with those persons to be severed, and I command the curse of control to cease in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, now we're going to go into some warfare. Father, let's stand for this. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand for this. Thank you, Lord. Now, we all know about unforgiveness, and if you don't know about it, please read it. It's in Matthew 18. It starts around verse 4 or 5. How many times should I forgive? And, of course, 70 times 7, it's really not a number. 7 is a metaphor for 7 days. Forgive, and 70 is completeness, right? Right, so complete, 7 days, complete, 7 days, 70 days, completeness, 70 weeks that Daniel was talking about in the Bible, completeness. So, forgive until it's completely forgiven. You know, it's not necessarily a number. Of course, you know, people could take that number and say, well, I've forgiven 490 times, I'm done with it, now I can hold a grudge. Baloney! So, read Matthew 18, verse 3 or 4, and go all the way to verse 35, to the end of it. You'll see that at the end, if you don't forgive, you are sent to the tormentors by the Father. And not the demons didn't do it, and the devil made me do it, and the devil did it. You know, you place yourself there because of your unforgiveness, and the Father backs off, as Brother Carroll said, and allows the demons to come in, and allows them to come in, and so they can take care of business until you forgive. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against every spirit of unforgiveness. We bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we command it to be powerless in our lives. And every spirit of the Saul spirit, we command to be powerless in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the very source of it. We bind the spirit of Satan and Beelzebub in the name of Jesus Christ. We command every demon in heaven, on earth, that is in the heavens above us, to be bound on the earth, to be bound in the name of Jesus, underneath the earth, in the seas and the waters around us, to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. And now, we command them to loose themselves from us in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of unforgiveness, say this with me. I command out of me. Because I'm a believer, I command. I have authority. Luke 10:19 declares it. That I have authority. And now I take my authority. And I command those demons. Unforgiveness. Rejection. Abandonment. Condemnation. Guilt. Unworthiness. Embarrassment. Sarcasm. Victimization. Woundedness, criticism, accusation, judging. Come out of me now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow it out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Go. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Galatians 3:13 says that the curse has been nailed to the cross. And every demon assigned to my generational curses be broken now. And we declare that my curse was nailed to the cross. You demons do not have access to me any longer. And every demon on assignment to a curse, drop off the curse now in the name of Jesus. Every generational curse. All the way back to my father's side. All the way to Adam and Eve. On my mother's side. All the way back to Adam and Eve. Every curse. Every demon assigned to those curses. Drop in the name of Jesus. Drop off your assignments now. In the name of Jesus. I command out of me. Every spirit of dominance. And control. Witchcraft. Rebellion. Stubbornness. Unrepentance, idol worship, self-worship, dictatorial spirit, lying spirit, manipulation, two-faced spirit, cold-hearted, insincere spirit. Get out of me now. In the name of Jesus, take a deep breath and blow it out. Go! In the name of Jesus, out. Out in the name of Jesus. Get out, out, out. Cold-faced, two-faced spirit. Get out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Some of you back there squirming. Maybe in the front row. Listen, I'm squirming a little bit. Right? In the name of Jesus, I command the false front spirit out of me now. Everything. False face, false front, false smile. Out of me now in the name of Jesus. Every role-playing spirit that makes me play a role, I command it out of me now in the name of Jesus. Deception, blame shifting, not taking responsibility, arrogance, holding on to the kingdom, greed, pride. Come out of me now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name.
out, out, out. Divination, insubordination, stubbornness, come out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. The spirit of iniquity. The spirit of iniquity. Go in Jesus' name. Disobedience, abusiveness, intimidation, get out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fear of man. Fear of disapproval. Fear, 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 failure. Fear of failure in man's eyes. Get out in the name of Jesus. Out, out. Untrust. Persecution, come out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Suspicion, suspicion, suspicious spirit. You, the one that will not trust, that's suspicious. Come out in the name of Jesus. Anger, mad, madness, madness, anger. Go in Jesus' name. Ballistic anger, come out in the name of Jesus. Falsehood, false humility, false compassion, false burden. Come out in the name of Jesus. Out, it's not your burden. Let it go in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. False compassion, insecurity, fearfulness, leave in the name of Jesus. The spirit of cowardness, cowardness, out in the name of Jesus. Fear of being found out. Fear of being found out. Fear of being outshined. Go in Jesus' name. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We having fun yet? There's more.
This is better than going to the dentist, by the way.
I command out of me the spirit of withdrawal, of pouting, self-pity, rejection, jealousy, rage, anger, murder, isolation, paranoia, deception, depression, bipolar spirit, bitterness, wrath, restlessness, revenge. In the name of Jesus, come out of me. Take a deep breath. Go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. I command out of me the spirit of intolerance, criticism, frustration, agitation, impatience, resentfulness, ego, pride, driving spirit, perfectionism, vanity, judgment, intolerance, destruction, unforgiveness, hatred, contention and strife, quarreling, wrath, destruction again, destroyer of the anointing, destroyer of ministries, destroyer of ministers, fatigue, moodiness, distress, worry, confusion, insomnia, fear of betrayal, fear, 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 fear. Go in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath, blow it out. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. All of it go. All of it go. And every kindred spirit. And now, Lord, we ask for you to heal our broken hearts and our wounded spirits. We ask you, O God, to place your hand on our hearts and heal us, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, this our spirit that is kind of bruised and shattered, we ask that you touch that and heal that too. Lord, we ask that you teach us how to love others. It's more important to love others than to love anything else, Lord, but you. We love you first and we love others next. So Lord, teach us how to love others and to be available. And to teach us how to be available, Lord. Thank you, Father. Teach us how to lay down our lives, lay down our ministries, lay down our hearts, Lord. And take our outer clothing off and wrap a towel around us and get on our knees and teach us how to wash someone else's feet. Now we ask you, Lord Jesus, come in and take the place of where those demons were. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come in and change us on the inside to out. Change us. Lord, we ask that you take up residence there where those demons were. So when they try to come back, they won't see anything but you, Lord, changing me, for redirecting me. Thank you, Lord. And now I lay down the Saul spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there's more. I know we're breaking at 12 and I'm 5 minutes over, but there's more. If those of you want personal ministry concerning this or anything else, please stay here. The rest of you are dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.